Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in, Thursday show, Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly always with me on Thursdays in studio. And Lee, we are inching closer to the start of high school football, one day away now. And of course, last week we had a great time out at Zaxby's talking with all the area coaches and a lot of the top players. Let's just hope that for week one tomorrow, the weather is opposite of today. It has been dreary and cloudy and rainy. On and off really since yesterday evening. We'll hope that this clears out of the area so week one of high school football can bring out some big crowds for some of these big games to start the 2018 season.
Yeah, those that have the turf fields will prosper tomorrow night, and those that are playing on dirt fields, I don't know that anybody would ever consider postponing till Saturday, but you've got to believe as much rain as we've had, possibility is there. So we'll see. But I think a lot of people are excited for the start of this season. A lot of coaches really feel good about their chances for the upcoming year. Going to be a lot of fun.
Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service each day of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Lee and I will have some headlines and news of the day presented by Hoopsters coming up here in just a few moments. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports, to talk IU basketball. We'll also talk later in the program with Floyd Central football coach James Bragg. He's the first-year coach. We got an opportunity briefly to hear him during our Zaxby's kickoff show, and each Thursday we've been kind of taking a tour of Southern Indiana football for the upcoming season. Today, Coach Bragg will tell us more about his background and what it's been like to take over as the boss man at Floyd Central for this upcoming season. So we'll talk with him and the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I should also tell you that with the storms and weather, we are having some technical problems of our own as far as phone line goes and connecting with some guests. So we've got a way to do it. We're not sure the quality will be as good as what it normally is, but nonetheless, we wanted to move forward with the show today and continue to have our guests. So bear with us on that. The weather wreaking havoc, not just on the dreary conditions, but on us here at the Big X today. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Big Ten Network saying that they will release the 2018-19 Big Ten men's basketball schedule on Tuesday, August 21st in a special program called the Big Ten Basketball and Beyond Schedule Release Edition, 3 o'clock next Tuesday. That's a little later than what it was a year ago. The schedule was actually released on this day, August 16th, by the Big Ten Network. But we know how it'll be released. It'll be a special program that will release the schedule. 20-game schedule, as we've discussed recently, talking a lot about the schedule for the first time. And, of course, Indiana home opponents, Nebraska, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Indiana's away opponents, Maryland, Minnesota, Penn State, and home and away, meaning that Indiana will play these teams twice in conference play the upcoming season. It'll be Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Purdue, and Rutgers. Those are the seven that will be home and away games this coming year for Indiana. Also, some other notes. OG Anunoby was back in Bloomington yesterday. The Indiana men's basketball Twitter account tweeting out some photos of him getting a workout, getting some shots up in Cook Hall, the practice facility for the men's basketball team. He is obviously preparing for his second season in the NBA with the Toronto Raptors. And I tell you what, Lee, we've talked some about him in previous shows, obviously, since he's left the Indiana program. But of all the Hoosiers that, with IU connections that are playing professional basketball, year one, rookie season for OG was a big one, and it's got me very hopeful. And when you look at his physical frame and what he's been able to do, I don't know that he'll ever be a star in the NBA, but I sure think he's got a lot of things on his side to be a player that could really long-term have a career that spans over a number of years.
Yeah, and that translates to big dollars. If a guy can hang on, stay in the league 5 to 10 years, certainly can live comfortably the rest of his life and have a great career where people know who he is and respect his style of play.
Absolutely. ESPN.com, they released their early Big Ten power rankings for the upcoming 2018-19 season. They have Indiana projected in seventh place among Big Ten conference teams. The top six, Michigan State at one, Michigan at two, Maryland at three, Purdue at four, Nebraska at five, Wisconsin at six, and of course Indiana at seventh. They were also, the story also listed Romeo Langford as one of five Big Ten players to watch, and it reads, quote, "The Big Ten's most likely one-and-done prospect speeds up the timeline for what's expected from second-year coach Archie Miller at Indiana. Langford is a smooth, lengthy guard who should give the Hoosiers a scoring threat no matter where he is on the floor. He is the type of talent who can dominate any given game, and folks in Bloomington would be wise to enjoy watching him while they have the chance." Again, that's the report on Langford, mentioning him as one of the five Big Ten players to watch for the upcoming college basketball season, at least in the Big Ten. Also, speaking of college basketball as a whole, a couple notes. First off, I watched Duke last night play their first game of their Canadian tour, and their freshmen led the way. I mean, you knew that R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson were going to be players, even at Duke, even at that level of a program, very similar to Romeo Langford, that are going to come in and play. They're going to come in and likely start. They're going to come in and likely be very much featured in the offense. They're going to likely come in and score a lot of points, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. 34 points and 29 points from R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson. I think Zion had 21 in the first half. He also had some crazy dunks that I'm sure will be highlights throughout the day on ESPN and other places today. But you want to talk about freshmen and their impact on college basketball. When you look at these two guys impacting Duke, everybody thinks Romeo Langford will have a major impact on Indiana. There are some other members of that 2018 high school class that I expect to have big showings in their college debuts coming up in the regular season. I was thinking about this last night. I'm sure that part of it's because we followed the class nationally because, well, if Romeo is so good, who are these names above him in the high school rankings? You want to know them. You want to see them. If they play on ESPN, you want to watch them. So that's probably part of it, that a lot of us in this area are more familiar with guys above Romeo in these, quote, rankings that were out there. But I really think now that I've seen the McDonald's game and now that I've followed some of these guys closely, this could be a freshman class, although a lot of them will just be there for one season. This could be a freshman class coming up in November that really affects college basketball in a positive way. And even though they're freshmen, these guys are capable of putting up big numbers as starters, as key players, even for some of the blue bloods of college basketball.
You know, there was I can't judge talent. You know, some guys look great, some guys don't. Some guys like Romeo that I saw for 4 years, he's the best I've ever seen. Okay, Zion Williamson, when I saw him play, obviously that young man. But this group, when you would watch these games on TV, just outstanding talent, some of them more offensive-minded than others, but all of them very talented, a wide wingspan in a lot of cases, very athletic, good shooters. It was just fun to watch, and I agree with you. This may be a class for the ages.
Yeah, absolutely, but I could not believe last night, and they're playing Ryerson, who won the Canadian championship last year, and basketball in Canada is a lot better than what it's used to be or what it's thought of, I think. A lot of players come to the States to play high school and definitely college basketball. R.J. Barrett himself is from Canada, and their college system is much better than I think likely what it's given credit to be. So this wasn't a slouch opponent. This wasn't some team put together to play Duke. This was a college team that itself is getting ready for the upcoming season that has big expectations there. So to see Duke handle them, and it was still a fairly 86-67, I think, was the final. It was Ryerson had the lead in the first 10 minutes of the game, and it was closer than the final score indicates at times. But to see these two freshmen in their first game in a uniform playing against another legitimate college team to have those type of performances was really unbelievable. You know Zion Williamson, if you've seen him, is going to get loose at some point and get some kind of crazy dunk or something going to the basket, and he absolutely did that. The guy is just upper body especially stronger than an ox, but it was really interesting to see those guys in a Duke uniform, and I'm sure that I will have the same feeling for Romeo Langford as far as, wow, this is a guy that we followed for years in a IU uniform when that debuts. Maybe it's Hoosier hysteria. Maybe it'll be the first game of the season. But some extra anticipation about what this class in college basketball can do. And a lot of that, I think, has been because of following Romeo on a national level and wanting to know who are these other guys that are as good or better than him, according to the guys that rank high school players out there. One other college basketball note, the Big Ten has two players on Blue Ribbon's college basketball yearbook preseason All-American team. None from Indiana, but Purdue's Carson Edwards and Wisconsin's Ethan Happ. They are both on the five-man team for the Blue Ribbon yearbook, which is obviously a great resource for the season. I don't know if any of you all have ever purchased it, but it's really one of the best college basketball resources out there. And when this sort of stuff comes out, you know that the college basketball season is still a little bit of away, but it's getting closer when you've got these preseason publications beginning to hit. And, of course, there'll be more and more preseason stuff out here coming up very, very soon. But interesting to see the layout of college basketball for the upcoming season. And I also am curious to see a lot of people projecting Indiana at 6-7-8 in the Big Ten Conference, at least in these early looks. And I'm curious to see if that holds true, because I think a lot of Indiana fans and a lot of people that follow and cover the program more closely are hopeful that this Indiana team could be better than that and maybe considerably better than that sort of finish.
Yeah, I agree, and I certainly hope as an IU fan that they have a fantastic year. One of the things that I am anxious to see, the players that were there last year, whether they be freshmen last year or classes above, how much have they improved? They've been with Archie now for a period of time, and by now should understand what he wants, what he expects. So how much better will they be? How much bigger bench, how much longer bench will Indiana have that really can play in the Big Ten and play the style that Archie wants? And certainly bringing in Romeo doesn't hurt anything. But I think there's a lot of other pieces of the puzzle on that team that we're just going to have to wait and see.
Well, we don't know the answer to your question, but what we do know pretty generally across the board with what we've seen from Cliff Marshall is most everybody on the team, at least that we've seen a photo of, has made some significant improvements and probably gains in their strength and their bodies, which is always hopeful. You have those sort of improvements, it gives you the very best opportunity to be the best basketball player with the God-given talent you have and the work that you've put in the offseason. So I think that there's reason to be hopeful about this Indiana team and about exactly what you said. Who are some of the players that maybe will be able to step up and contribute that didn't last year as freshmen or didn't last year as sophomores much for whatever reason? So some interesting things to watch. Also, in this first segment, Lee, I do want to go through some high school games with you. We'll have Floyd Central coach James Bragg with us later in the hour. But it doesn't get any better than New Albany and Providence in week one. Two great student sections, two great crowds for this game from each side, which equal a really good turnout. It's been packed the last couple of years for this rivalry game. That's the game that I think from Southern Indiana that takes the cake. That'll be one of our feature games this Friday night on Kentuckiana Football Fridays. And it's a game where a couple weeks ago or maybe a month ago, I would have said I think New Albany's the prohibitive favorite in that game. But the more I learn and hear about Providence and what they returned from last season, it makes me wonder if this won't be a heck of a down-to-the-wire football opener.
I think it will. I think the certainly we know about the running game from Providence. We know it's outstanding. We know that they've lost to New Albany a couple of times, so they certainly have the momentum, their hope. I'm not momentum, but they have the impetus to want to play as well as they possibly can against both of their opening opponents. New Albany and Floyd Central both, they would love nothing better than to come out and beat two 5A programs. So they have confidence after winning the sectional last year, and they've got a lot of those kids back. I think it's going to be a great game. I hope the weather clears up just enough for that game because it is a great night, and for the home team, it's a big gate and certainly helps with the athletic budget for the rest of the year.
An athletic director's dream, as Chad Gilbert would tell us, for some of these week one games. Other games of interest, Silver Creek at Charlestown. That's become a rivalry game. Silver Creek without football for many, many years. They've returned football, and they've returned it at a very good level. Charlestown has been one of the better programs out of our two-county area. If you take a look at success in the regular season and the postseason for a number of years, they've been strong. Last year obviously wasn't one of their more banner seasons, but I think that'll be a good one as well, and I think that will tell us a lot about those two teams moving forward and what to expect the rest of the way.
Yeah, when we talked to the young men from Charlestown in our preview show last week, they kind of gave us a little bit of insight into the program at the beginning of the year last year. They talked about the chemistry on the team wasn't what it should have been. Kids were trying to do things for themselves to be the star of the game is the way they put it. And so they said later in the season that took care of itself, and they're looking forward to this year. John Dablo's done a great job at Silver Creek. He has those kids believing. He has some skill people back. He has some line people back. It's going to be a good game, I think. And again, that's going to be on a dirt field tomorrow night. Hope it clears up so that we can see the true talent of these two ball clubs.
Absolutely. Also, Jeffersonville, they have a big one at Pulaski, Kentucky, Pulaski County. They'll play Pulaski Southwestern, part of a bowl, two games in that night to kick off the season. That's obviously a really tough game from Jeffersonville, although I heard reports that, and there's really no score kept, obviously the coach or someone that was at the game, the scrimmage last week at Warren Central would be able to tell you know, how competitive Jeff was overall. But I heard that despite it being Warren Central, a nationally ranked team and program, that the Red Devils showed some signs of promise. So that is interesting to hear because I think Coach Gleason taking over, still trying to figure out an identity for his Jeffersonville team, had a three-way race for quarterback at Jeff. That sounds interesting. We've spent a lot of time talking about the quarterback race at Indiana. And another tough opener, Louisville Male coming across to take on Floyd Central. That has always given Floyd Central the opportunity to take on a really, really first-class and tough opponent right out of the gate. And then from there, you can kind of gauge which direction things might go. But always interesting when you've got a heck of a challenge for week one, especially when you've got a new first-year head coach, which is the case for Jeff and Floyd Central, and you've got such a tough opponent coming out of the gate.
Yeah, you were talking about scores in the scrimmage not being kept. First scrimmage I ever saw after the IHSAA had put their rules in place, I was working the clock for the scrimmage. Nobody tells me any of the rules, of course. So the first team that scores, I put 6 points up on the board, and all of a sudden I hear the filmers up on top screaming, take the score off. You can't put scores up on a scrimmage. So found out the hard way. But anyway, yeah, I think Greg Mingeld in the News and Tribune today goes through and talks about all of the Clark Floyd games on tap this weekend involving teams. He paints a rosy picture for many teams. He feels Jeffersonville is a team that may struggle pretty heavily this season, saying maybe only 3 wins, and part of that is because of the killer schedule that they have got. Cathedral's on there, Pulaski County's on there. some other top quality programs. But if you want to check into it, check the News and Tribune, and you can find out who's playing where and his take on the upcoming games on Friday night.
That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. I actually was in Hoopsters last night to watch the Duke exhibition. It was on ESPN+, and had a crowd of friends in there. Great environment, great food, great place to watch college basketball, and it will be a great place to watch the Indiana Hoosiers play this upcoming season. So make sure you check out Hoopsters in Jeffersonville. Also, don't forget, all the high school football talk should remind you that Friday we will have Kentuckiana Football Fridays. Beginning at 6 p.m., we'll have a one-hour kickoff show to get you set on games on both sides of the river. We'll be joined by some coaches. We'll be joined by some media. Then we'll take you from Providence, New Albany, to Charlestown, Silver Creek, and also have call-in reports from other games across the area as well. And then when all the games have gone final, we'll have a scoreboard show with scores, results, highlights, interviews to wrap up week one of high school football. It will be a busy, haphazardous night. Even if you're going to go to a game, make sure you take your earbuds, make sure you stream us on the website, stream us through the TuneIn app, and you can catch up with everything going on across the area. We'll have constant scores, constant movement, constant updates. It will be a fun night, 5-plus hours of local coverage coming your way starting tomorrow night with Kentuckiana Football Fridays here on the Big X. That's segment one. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports, in just a moment. Reminder, we have some technical problems today with telephones, so we are going to struggle to connect to Alex in a secondary way. We hope the quality is good enough. We're going to give it a go and have a chat with IU basketball, or about IU basketball, coming up here after the break, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, we're having some technical problems, but Alex Bozich will still be with us here in just a few moments. We're having some issues with the phone. Not sure if it's associated with the weather or what, but we're going to move forward with our guest coming up later, James Bragg, the new coach at Floyd Central and the football program. He will join us for the first time as well here on the Hoosier Report. Our chat with Alex Bozich each week is presented by CC Power Sports, with two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store, right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest. Alex, a lot of things going on, a lot of discussion, a lot of anticipation about the schedule for the upcoming season, and it was reported earlier by the Big Ten Network that they will make the conference schedule official, which means they'll put the dates with the opponents. We already know who Indiana will play at home and away, and also in a two-game series, but they'll make those dates official on Tuesday, August 21st, during a special broadcast on Big Ten Network.
Yeah, it should be good to finally get an idea of when each of these games are going to take place. As you mentioned, Matt, we know who Indiana is going to play, but it's always interesting to kind of get the schedule and look and say, you know, which stretch of games is more favorable than others. Where is the tough stretch going to come? And the interesting thing, I think, is going to be those early December games that we had last year. I think that's going to continue this year, and kind of looking at what is going to surround those games. Once again, you're going to have Duke leading into the Big Ten games, and then you're going to come out on the other side of that and have Louisville and Butler. So it's going to be, interesting announcement. Looking forward to it every year. Just to finally get the schedule, can start to plan travel for road games, and also just get a better idea of when things are going to become. And hopefully it's a little bit more balanced this year in terms of the days off between games. I know that was one thing that Indiana last year kind of got the short end of the stick in terms of having, I think, more one-day turnarounds in Big Ten play than anybody else. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be a little bit looked at more closely this year and scrutinized. So hopefully Indiana has fewer of those this season.
Alex, when you look at that schedule, is it one of those things where if you're playing really well, if you're playing games in a short period of time, it's okay because you're playing well and the kids can't wait to get back on the floor. But if you're not playing well, it's a nightmare because there's no time in between to work on anything in practice.
Yeah, I think, it can go either way. I think ultimately you have to get accustomed to playing on the short turnaround because the most important games of the year, the Big Ten tournament, which you can argue whether that's important or not, but, there's no day's rest in that. And then the NCAA tournament, the format having, the games either Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday. That's ultimately what you're preparing for. But I think with the regular season being as long as it is and the grind, you want to have as much rest as possible between games because guys get nicked up and you want to be as well rested as possible. And your goal really is to peak during March. And, if you're playing too many games in a shorter period of time, I feel like during the regular season, you could potentially have a chance for guys to get worn down a little bit more, a little sooner than normal. And I think last year was hopefully an exception rather than the rule. I know there's some challenges that the league has now with bringing in more TV partners. Last year, FS1 was new to the league, and they wanted more Friday night inventory, I think, to kind of fill their programming. And I don't know necessarily if that's going to be something they're going to be able to do as much, or they're going to have to spread things around a little bit more. But I think last year there was just too many instances when you speak to Indiana specifically, and there was a few other programs that were like this as well, where you just had too many one-day turnarounds. If you can maybe eliminate those altogether, or maybe just have one at the most or two per team, I think that's kind of the best way to handle it moving forward, because you don't want to get into a situation where, as a conference, your scheduling is such where you're putting your teams at a disadvantage when it comes to the postseason, right? You want the Big Ten, they're going on 18 years now without a national championship, and anything that they can do to kind of make their teams, better prepared for tournament in terms of being healthy and being ready to go in terms of fatigue, I think is a good step forward.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Another thing that's always good chatter at this time of the summer, at this time of the off season, is where Indiana is being projected by some in their early look at the Big Ten Conference to finish for the upcoming season. And I saw ESPN had some Big Ten power rankings that they released yesterday where Indiana projected by them to finish 7th in the conference. And again, it's always something to chat, to argue, to guess about at this point. But with seeing that, with reading that yesterday, it brings me to Alex Bozich. Where do you believe Indiana could finish if all goes well in this Big Ten Conference based on some of the other teams, who they lost, who the newcomers are, et cetera?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at my offseason power rankings, but I would feel pretty confident saying that I think Indiana is going to be a top five team in the Big Ten. Looking at the ESPN rankings, two teams that kind of stood out to me as maybe being a little bit overranked, Maryland at 3, seems a little high to me based on the season they had last year, and they also lost, in my opinion, their best player, so I'm not sure how you put them 3rd. And the other one I'm looking at is, I think they still think they're going to be a good team, probably an NCAA tournament team, Purdue, being ahead of Indiana. I'm not sure I agree with that either. They lost 4 starters. They do return a really good player in Carson Edwards, a preseason All-American that was announced yesterday by the Blue Ribbon. They have him and Ethan Happ on their first team preseason All-American team. But I would say those two teams, I would probably put Indiana ahead of them. And then, the top five, the other ones that ESPN there had in the top seven, you know, Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin. I'm not sure who the other one is. I'm drawing a blank. But those are really the teams that I would look at as probably the cream of the crop at the Big Ten going into the season. I think most people are going to have Michigan State as their preseason favorite. But this season really, to me, feels pretty wide open in the league. But I think seventh for Indiana is they finished, I think, tied for sixth or seventh last year, and they added a lot of talent this year, and I think there's some teams in front of them that finished in front of them last year that are going to take a step backwards. So I think top five at minimum is a good way to kind of project them going into the year.
There's a rumor that football season is approaching, although with with a lot of us, we kind of ignore that, just waiting for basketball. But one of the things as part of this football season is the situation at Maryland, and we've seen that at all levels, at Center Grove, the head coach there, who's been very successful, almost lost his job last spring after parents said that he was abrasive and abusive to players at Maryland. A young man died, and then allegations came out about similar situations of the coaches demeaning the players and so on. There are other instances. Kevin Wilson at IU lost his job under similar circumstances. I guess my question is, what's going on? I mean, have things changed that drastically? Have the players changed that drastically? Bobby Knight couldn't have made it in the environment today, is said by a lot of people. So what exactly is going on? Have things changed that much? Or have the players and so on changed that much?
I think it's a couple of things. One, and I think this is a good thing. As a society, I think that people are a lot more willing to speak up and say when something is going on that's wrong. You know, a lot of it's maybe characterized as some, like, the softening of kids in society. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as, you know, there's a way to treat people and motivate them without being abusive. And a lot of these situations that maybe 20, 30 years ago would have been deemed okay or just kind of how things are done is no longer appropriate in society. And I think that's a positive change. And then, you know, I would say overall, you know, kids are also a little bit different now. They don't want to be coached maybe the same way that they did. You talk about Bobby methods of motivated kids. You know, that's not going to be tolerated as much now. Kids aren't really brought up through the system, whether it be the AAU system or the football system, regardless of what it is, you know, the highest of the high elite kids. They don't want to be talked to or treated that way, and so there's going to be less tolerance from maybe the players and also their parents, people surrounding them, and that kind of stuff going on. But you know, I think the situation, all these situations are really unfortunate because I think you can be a really good coach, and I think you can learn how to push people's buttons and motivate them without kind of crossing that line, being abusive, and it looks like that's kind of what happened at Maryland. And some of these other instances that you mentioned, it's really unfortunate. But I think anything that we can do as a society and in general to protect people from being hurt or physically, you know, killed in this instance, the guy at Maryland, it seems like, you know, it was just negligence in terms of looking out for his health. So that's something that should never really happen. And you know, I hope that we can continue, all of us continue to grow and kind of, you know, you gotta remember what's important. I mean, this stuff is, obviously there's a lot of money involved, there's a lot of pressure to win, but we're also talking about the well-being of other human beings, and everyone deserves to be treated fairly, and I hope that's, you know, ultimately what happens going forward, is that we continue to speak up when things like this happen and kind of, you know, slowly but surely kind of weed some of these things out of the culture of college athletics, because I just don't think it has any place. And I don't think it ever did have a place, but I'm glad that it's now being a little bit policed a little bit better, and we seem to be moving forward and trying to fight some of these issues.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest. This segment each week is presented by CC Power Sports. Did you get a chance to watch Duke last night? Lee and I spent some time in the first segment talking about Zion Williamson and also RJ Barrett and their unbelievable start to the early start of the Duke season, I guess you could say, part of the Canadian tour that Duke is taking right now, playing a handful of exhibition games. Even though it wasn't a Division I opponent, it was still a quality team, but their performances were just spectacular, I thought, and that's got me all the more excited to see what Romeo Langford can do out there.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch any of their games, but I've obviously seen all of their freshmen that they have play in person. I saw Zion several times in the AU circuit, saw Cam Reddish, saw RJ Barrett. I think overall it's a really talented group, but you can't really take too much from exhibition games in August. One thing that Duke's been criticized a little bit for on this trip, that, you know, they're not playing the best team in Canada, Carleton. That's a team that's kind of knocked around a lot of these U.S. teams that have come up there to play. Duke, for whatever reason, didn't play that. I would love to have seen that matchup. That was a team Indiana played a couple of years ago when they went up there, 2014, to Canada. They played them, actually beat them. I think it was a little bit of a down year for them, but they've been destroying some of the U.S. teams that have gone up there, so I would have really liked to see that. But, you know, this with the Kentucky trip and the Duke trip, I think it's great for the college basketball in general that we're even talking about the sport this time of year nationally. The fact that these programs get a chance to showcase themselves and, you know, get on SportsCenter and have people talking about the sport, I think is good. But, you know, I don't draw too much out of that. You know, I think Duke's going to be a really talented team. They've been a talented team, you know, every year pretty much in recent memory, and I think they're going to be really good. But, you know, I wouldn't go as far as to draw too many conclusions from basically what are exhibition games in August. A long way to go. A lot of things can change before the season starts. But, you know, the Zion Williamson hype is it seems like he's maybe going to be the Trae Young of college basketball this year in some ways. And the interesting thing to me, watching him play, I think it was a year ago in April, I went down to the Adidas Gauntlet where he went head-to-head with Romeo. And Romeo, his team, beat his team, and he outplayed Zion. So you mentioned being excited to watch Indiana and Romeo. I think once people get a chance to actually see him play this year for Indiana, he's not being talked about as much as this trio at Duke, but I think he's capable of having a really special freshman season in Bloomington.
How many people, Alex, have texted, tweeted, reached out to you in some form or fashion about Romeo's cast on his arm?
Had a lot of posts on the message board asking me about it. I've had texts, I've had phone calls. You know, it's, to me, it's, you know, I watched him play through some, it looked like wrist pain in both wrists at various times last season. It seems to me, and I don't have any inside information, I haven't talked to anybody, it seems to me, more or less, that it's just an opportunity for him to get some rest. That wrist doesn't seem like it's anything serious. I saw he had an Instagram post late last night, I think it was after midnight, that he was in the gym up in Bloomington working out. So it doesn't seem like anything to be overly concerned about. You know, I kind of, last year during the season, I remember in that Princeton game that was on ESPN, I was kind of wondering if he was going to be able to continue. It looked like his wrist was hurting him so bad. So I don't know if this is just an extension of that or what the exact issue is, but yeah, that picture has made its rounds on the message boards this week, and I think a lot of people are concerned about it, but I think he's going to be just fine when the season starts, and I would expect it not to really have much effect on his productivity this year unless there's something out there that somebody else knows that I don't.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Alex is with us every Thursday, got my days messed up, on the program and the segment presented by CC Power Sports, locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County, for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, thanks so much. Thanks for bearing with us with some technical problems as far as the phone goes today, but I think it worked loud enough for you to come across to the listeners of the show that look forward to the great information and insight you bring each week, and we'll look forward to doing it again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
That'll wrap things up for this segment. We'll head to a commercial break and return with new Floyd Central coach James Bragg. He's in the final hours of getting his Highlander team ready to take on Mayo from Louisville in their season opener tomorrow in week one of high school football here in Southern Indiana. We'll talk with Coach Bragg about his background, about what the summer was like with Floyd Central, and what he expects for the Highlanders coming up after this commercial break on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, the opportunity to hear from another high school football head coach, James Bragg, first-year coach at Floyd Central. Will join Lee and I in just a moment. And Lee, it's been fun on Thursdays to get a real look at some of the area coaches from across Southern Indiana to hear in depth about what their summers were like, what their preparations have been like for the season. And you and I have mentioned this numerous times, a lot of first-year head coaches, whether it's someone for the first time being a head coach or it's someone taking over a new program, that has really added to some of the preseason storylines.
You know, and there's a lot of new assistant coaches as well. When we talked to the coaches last week in the preview show, they mentioned new people they had brought on board to help them. So it's not only just the head coach, but in the circle of coaches, a lot of new faces for the players to see this year.
James Bragg, head coach at Floyd Central, joins us right now on the Hoosier Report. Coach Bragg, we look forward to getting to know you more as the next couple months unfold. But we'll start with this, a big opener for your Highlander team. They will play host to Louisville Mayo, who is always a very quality high school football program from across the river on Friday. I'm sure there's a lot of excitement, not only with your players about the start of the season, but with you as well taking over after being an assistant coach as now the head coach at Floyd Central.
Yeah, not just me, but also, you know, the players are excited. Everybody's excited because it's first week, opening week for us. And like you said, we bring over Louisville Mayo is going to come across the river or swim across it with all the rain we've had lately. But they're going to come to town, and they are. They're a very good program over there, a great program over there on film. I mean, they're fast, they're disciplined, their special teams are you know, very sound. So it's going to be a very difficult game for us tomorrow night. Having said that, though, like I said, opening week, we're amped. We're excited. The kids are ready to play. You know, like I said, we've been hitting each other for, seems like, months, you know, for the last 3 weeks. So we're just ready to hit somebody else in a different color uniform.
Yeah, absolutely. James Bragg, first-year head coach at Floyd Central, our guest. I tell you, when Lee and I spoke with you at the Zaxby's kickoff show, it obviously was a quick interview. We got a chance that night to hear from some of your key players as well. But it sounded like the transition from Coach Bragg, the assistant coach, to Coach Bragg, the head coach, was very smooth in the off season, even dating back before the summer practices and scrimmages and those things. I'm sure that has to have you maybe more comfortable and more confident about leading this program with week one of Friday Night Lights just around the corner, that you had those extra months to really transition into this head coaching spot.
Absolutely, because, you know, I've been on Brian brought me on staff last May. I got the job at Floyd Central, and it was a part of Brian's staff. So I went through a summer last year with them, the whole season and then a whole off season, to really get to know these kids and build some relationships with them. And that's been, it's tremendous. You know, there's none of that, like, kind of, I don't know how to talk to this kid, or that kid doesn't know if he can approach me about a subject, you know, all that kind of feel out stuff that sometimes a new guy gets when he's hired on late, like I was. That was kind of pushed to the side because these kids had already known me for almost over a year. So that helps out tremendously, you know, and it does take that off a little bit of the weight off your shoulders, you know, trying to build those relationships with those kids in such a short time. I mean, we've had over a year to get to know each other, and the transition was very smooth because of all the stuff that we did in the weight room in the winter. And then when I got hired, we were right in the summer, and it was just really nice and smooth, and the kids really adapted well. You know, we had a little bit of bumps at the beginning on just some drills and some ways we're going to run some things differently. But in the most part, I mean, the kids transitioned really good. The coaching staff transitioned really good. It's been a real smooth experience so far.
Coach, I've had people ask me, this Coach Bragg at Floyd, where did he come from? Is he from around here? Did he play in the area? Was he, you know, where did he come from? And I throw my arms up in the air and go, you know, I haven't asked him that question yet, so I shall do that today, Coach. What's your background and where are you from?
I'm actually from, born and raised in Decatur, Illinois. I went to high school there in Decatur, went to a private school, Decatur St. Teresa. And then after that, I went to college down at Blackburn, where I met my wife, Stephanie, who is from this area. So there's the ties about how we landed here back at Floyd. She was actually a North Harrison Cougar up there. And we were in Illinois for about 7 years. And then we decided that we needed to come back to be close to her family and come back home. So we made the move from Illinois back here. And I bounced around a little bit trying to find a secure job. You know, one of the things is I'm a physical education teacher, and that's those jobs are hard to find over here in Indiana, it seems like. So, you know, I took an age job at Crawford County and was a defensive coordinator there underneath Alan Hess. And then I got lucky and got actually I had to go into special ed to get my first foot in the door really teaching over here down at South Central. And I was able to coach underneath Andrew Smith there at Corden. And then Brian called me and said, hey, we have a PE opening. Like you come, I'd like you apply and try to get the job. And if it works out, hopefully you can be on our staff. And for me, it worked out great, you know, and it was awesome. Awesome journey. You know, there's times there when we made this move, you know, I asked myself and I asked my wife, did we really do the right thing? And every time it went back to, yeah, we did do the right thing because we moved over here for family. You know, and we're a big family oriented couple, and the team knows that too. You know, the team has bought into that, you know, family first before football, and you know, it's been a good experience, but that's where we come from. I came from Illinois, but I'm married to Southern Belle here in Southern Indiana, so I'm back at home.
James Bragg, first year Floyd Central coach, our guest. He will lead his team Friday against Louisville Male, 7:30 kickoff from that game. I know you're taking over. I know you've also had a hand in things in the past as well, as we've previously discussed. But in a perfect situation, what is the style of football that James Bragg prefers to play? What down the road, as years goes by with you as the head coach at Floyd Central, type of football may we expect?
Perfect situation, we'll be pretty balanced. I mean, maybe more of 60-40. Run throw ratio, but also we'll start to go faster. You know, I come from Illinois. When I was coaching over there, no huddle was huge, and I kind of adapted into that. Our philosophy was a little bit more no huddle, no hurry, but at the same time, if we wanted to go fast, we could, and that's something that I like to bring to Floyd Central. I don't think we're ready to do it right now. You know, we're still trying to learn some offense, trying to get our groove, trying to find the right lineman up front to fit that style of play. But in the future, you know, moving forward, that's where I see us. I see us going a lot faster, trying to get as many plays as we can in the game, and try to be more explosive. You know, Floyd's always ran the football, and they're great at it, and we're going to run it this year. But I'd like to stretch it, not just sideline to sideline. We'd like to go vertical, you know. So we like to use, you know, I think I said on Thursday with you guys, you know, football field's 53 yards wide. I'd like to use every inch of that field, you know, in our formations and our run game and our passing game. So that's where we'll evolve into, is more of a quick pace and spread you out and take advantage of the holes in that field. So,
Coach, with the turf field, the weather not as big a factor as it could be otherwise, but it probably does have some problem areas. If it is a rainy night tomorrow night, will it change the way that your team will play?
I don't know if it'll change the way we play. It'll change the way maybe we look, you know. Yesterday it was pouring on us all day, and the wind was kind of picking up there for a while. We were able to get practice in. There was no thunderstorms when we were on the field. That was all hit afterwards. But, you know, we had to go under center a little bit. You know, we're a shotgun team. But in the rain, I told them, I said, fellas, if it's downpouring or this monsoon that they might have Friday night, we got to be able to get a snap. You know, we got to be able to take care of the football. So we went under center. I mean, we've been practicing a little bit here and there, but we were pretty heavy under center yesterday for practice. And it was amazing, our kids, the way they adapted. I mean, it was smooth. It was a great practice yesterday in the rain. You know, most guys, sometimes if it's raining, it's a wash. But for us, like I said, I think the turf field helps out a lot because none of that water sits on the field. I mean, it's water off a duck's back on that thing. I mean, I think my AD told me we could get 7 inches of rain in 30 minutes and it still wouldn't puddle up or something like that. So, I mean, that's awesome, you know, for us to have that facility and that opportunity like we do. I mean, I don't think it'll change us too much. If it's raining, I would expect both teams not to pass very much, though. I know Mayo likes to – I mean, they like to throw it around a little bit, sling that football around. But, I mean, if it's raining heavy and that wind's picking up, that's going to be pretty tough to throw tomorrow night. So, I think it'll be an interesting game, you know. The one thing the turf does do is takes the mud out of it, which, you know, back in the day when everybody else played, like when I played, there was no turf. So, I was a lineman. I love playing in a rain game because, I mean, you were going to get muddy. It didn't matter how big the dude across from you from. I mean, anything could happen on a mud game, you know. So that's one thing I think the turf takes away from it is that little X factor. But for the most part, we'll be okay. So
James Bragg, first-year coach at Floyd Central. Coach, great to catch up with you last week at Zaxby's. Great to chat again on the program today. I know we'll have more of these chats forthcoming with some of your big games down the schedule, and we'll talk with you again very soon. We wish you the very best tomorrow night.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, again, James Bragg joining us, the coach at Floyd Central. Our coverage of high school football will continue and ramp up on Friday with Kentuckiana Football Fridays. I'll be in studio. We'll have folks out at the New Albany Providence and Silver Creek Charlestown games. We'll go back and forth with play-by-play as needed. We'll also have call-in reports, scoreboard updates, and a lot more in our 5-plus hours of local coverage tomorrow starting at 6 o'clock. Thanks to Lee Kelly for being with me in studio today. That's going to wrap up this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.